Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield. And this is a bonus episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. Now, as ever, let's begin by banging these bongos.
Yeah, right. Crazy.
Hello and welcome to bonus episode number 28 of the Ministry of Arts podcast. Today I'm speaking to Richie Yvinsky. He's an artist that was born and raised in Canada, but then ventured across the border later on in life, who currently resides in Manhattan. Richie and I started speaking very recently on social media. He said he'd been listening to the podcast and wondered if there was any way he could be a part of it. But because there's such a long waiting list, Richie opted for a bonus episode. And if it's something you think you might fancy, then hang around at the end of this episode because there'll be a short message telling you how to go about it. But getting back to Richie. Richie generally works in collage, with its main image being an iconic cultural figure. But I'm going to stop myself there because I don't really want to tell you too much about his work, because he's the best person to do that. So please, come along with me and take a trip across to Manhattan to meet Richie Yvinsky.
How are you, man? You good?
I'm good, man. I'm really good. I'm just out here in New York. I'm doing my thing, and I'm very excited. I've got a lot of things in the horizon, so I'm all right.
And how's things in Manhattan today?
Things in Manhattan are beautiful. It's a very good day. It's a bit more sunny than usual. I mean, February is a very gloomy month, but we're getting through it.
I understand you're from different shores.
Yes. I mean, I've had a very colorful past in reference to my different points of origin, but really, you know, Canadian born. I spent time in Venice Beach, Florida, spent time in Vegas, and I've been in Manhattan for the last going on 8 years. I even had a small stay in London for a little while, but not really long enough to talk about it, you know.
But where was that anyway?
I was actually, when I was living in London, I was living in Hammersmith and Westminster for about 3 months. Nice. Yeah, it was cool. It was a really good time.
And whereabouts in Canada did you grow up?
So in Ontario, Canada, in the area of Vaughan. Basically, I was born in Mississauga, in between there and Toronto, and then came into the States in the early 90s and ended up growing up on a beach in Florida. So that was pretty interesting.
Oh, that'll do. My mum's Canadian.
Oh, beautiful. That's wonderful. Where from?
Toronto, Ontario.
Oh, well, there you go. It's a great place to be from. It's amazing. It's an amazing part of the country. I mean look, it's Toronto is beautiful, and it's one of the greatest sports towns in the world. You know, that's one of the best things about it, in my opinion.
Yeah, she left there when she was four, so she didn't have much growing up there. But I did travel over there in my 20s, in my very early 20s, and absolutely loved Canada.
Yeah, it's a great country. I mean,
freezing cold though, that was the problem.
Yeah. My sister actually moved to the west coast of Canada. And she now lives at the base of the Canadian Rockies in Calgary.
Oh, nice.
90 days a year. So she has a great time. And I mean, look, if you embrace that cold, it nourishes you.
Richie, I've got several questions that I ask each guest.
Sure.
The first being, how would you explain what you do to somebody that doesn't know your work?
I would explain that what I'm doing with my process is I'm trying to tell a story of someone who impacted the world. And whether you are familiar with the focal point that I'm using or you're not, and you've never seen this person before in your life, when you look at my work, you'll be able to kind of tell who this was, what they did, what they were about, and how they lived. And whether it's a comic book character, something like the Green Ranger, whether it's Marilyn Monroe, they both have a story. And what I do is I work through my clippings, comic book clippings, magazine clippings, and I put together the background of this person's tale.
Yeah.
Because submerging myself into that character, it's everything to me, That's why I don't really take on, subjects that I'm not interested in.
Yeah. Well, I've seen your work, and you do use very iconic cultural figures from stage, screen, and as you said, from comic book. And it does pull together that warmth of nostalgia, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So, the style I personally developed is I call transcendent collage, because what I'm doing is I'm trying to have someone come in for the story. It's just like the art piece is like the cover of a book. It's like, oh, that's a nice cover. When you actually go further in, you decipher everything. It really comes together in a beautiful manner.
I'm aware that you put, as you say, this transcendent collage. The collage in that you put there, is there a way that the viewers should follow that with their eye for you to be able to tell them the story?
That's a beautiful question. Absolutely. Yeah. If you start with the subject right there, the subject pops up and, it's got a pop art flair. There's no doubt about that. But when you start with the subject that's right there at the focal point, the centerpiece, the person in the middle that you're supposed to be looking at, you start with them and then you just simply catch the next largest thing that pops out at you, whatever it is, whether it's an image, a paint splatter, and then really that'll guide you. Go for the next best thing that you see.
So you've literally got the image in front of you, and then you're looking at their background.
That's right. That's right. And that's how you get submerged, because literally what you see is you see the main subject, and then if your eye, wherever your eye deviates next, there's no wrong place. Wherever your eye goes next is the way it's where it's supposed to be.
It's all part of that story, part of that journey, right?
Absolutely. And it's also what's really great about my work is it's the person's own journey of how they find out about that person.
Yeah.
Because look, if you're looking at a Marilyn Monroe piece or Beyonce or whoever it may be, but with Marilyn Monroe, for example, if your eye goes to the focal point and then you look to Playboy, and your mind's going to go down that route. But if you look to the Gossip magazine from 1950, your mind's going to think of Gossip. Everyone's different. So the way that they perceive art is different. So
talking about you personally, did you have creativity in the home growing up?
Not in the traditional sense. My father was a pastry chef.
And oh, nice.
Yeah, so the creativity really came from like cakes and eclairs and various pastries and all that.
I can find a lot of creativity in cakes and eclairs.
Yeah, not to mention you get to eat the cakes and eclairs, so it's like, believe it or not, I had so much chocolate and all that sugar growing up as a kid that I was to the limit. I just didn't even want it, so the creativity was there. I mean, naturally, I've had a pen and a pad since I was, as early as thoughts and memories, drawing dinosaurs and Batman, And then you just advance from there. The creativity was definitely on my father's side. Well, I would say on my mother's side as well, because she was a beautician. So,
So
it was good food and good hair. So that was fun.
And could you see the artistic side of you growing while you was at school?
Yes. It was not nurtured, but I could see it growing.
Yeah. And I presume you didn't study it later on at university?
You know what? I actually did. I did. I definitely dove in. It wasn't my major. I actually went to school for sound design and sound engineering.
Yeah.
But the fun little thing there is I actually went on tour with a band and realized how much I did not want to be in like music and touring. It was one of those things where you have to try it to really know if you're smart or not. And wow, I did not want that. Pardon me. I really did not want that situation. But at the end of the day, things worked out for me very luckily because I paid attention to those classes in university. And even though I didn't really go for it as a major, it definitely helped foster some of the methods that I use. But to be honest with you, the most impactful art class I ever had was in the third grade. In the third grade, this teacher, I think her name was Miss Shaddix, shout out Miss Shaddix, but she taught the class how to do paper mache. And that's honestly where everything for me began. Yep, it was sculptural. You know, we would make things, various animals, you know, we would cover various things that, like a basketball or soccer ball, and just like paper mache it and be like, now look, now it's covered in newspaper and you can draw on it and paint it and make it an animal, you know? And it's just like that, whatever that did to my brain, it stuck with me the entire way, even to this day.
Superb. It's amazing how those little seeds can be sown and we can trace our journey right back to those seeds, isn't it?
That's a blessing. It truly is. And the fact that we have the foresight to be able to reflect, to do that, that's really good because it's so important to look back on your own life and your own journey to see where you are, and why you are, how you are, and that'll show you where you're going to go.
Yeah. When did you start creating artwork more than just a hobby, but to try and sell and to become an artist?
I tried to initially sell my work 10 to 11 years ago. I remember I basically just had a bunch of comic books. I was a comic book collector and I love comic books. And I was so tired of seeing this comic that was so great just closed and put away.
Yeah.
And essentially, I said, that's not going to happen. I ripped open this comic, I rip it up to pieces, and then I ended up collaging it on a canvas. And I did several more after. And then there was an art fair that happens monthly in Las Vegas, where I was living at the time. It's called First Friday. I went down there and, you know, just started trying to sell some pieces on the street. And that worked out. I think I made like $50. Yeah, it was pretty good because I couldn't afford a booth in the fair, but I could sell in the street outside the fair, you know?
Superb.
And I actually did that two or three times in situations where I really needed some cash. I just what I can make and I get out there. I'm just like, okay, the timing's right. Let's do it. Oh, yeah. But then, you know, the great thing is there is that your friends that really want to see you win, they start wanting to support. And, you know, I remember the first friend that I sold an art piece to was a Batman. And it's to my dear friend, Alyssa. And, you know, she loved it. And, you know, just ever since then, I've had great support. And then my friends' friends, they like the work. They end up ordering pieces. And it flows, you know, naturally. And I've still had that method to this day.
And how do you sell your work genuinely, Richie? Is it from the wall itself or social media, your website?
Yeah, so there's a few different avenues. For original artworks, I normally work directly with my galleries. I'm represented here in New York in Decor Gallery and by Cloud Gallery. Nice. And then, I'm also represented in Chicago by David Leonardis Gallery. And I also have a piece of the Rota Fugi Gallery, which is good. I'm also in City of Light in Seattle, and I'm working on a Beyonce that's going over there to them. And so the galleries are where I sell my original work. Now, through the website, folks do inquiries and I can obviously do custom pieces. But I think lately, social media has just been so dominant in promotion. And I can't necessarily say I've gotten a tremendous amount of sales from social media, but I absolutely have generated some sales from there, which is important. But the main outside of folks wandering into the galleries is word of mouth and friends of friends. And that's how people get my number, ask me questions. You know, we work things out.
Yeah. Well, we're in that funny period at the moment where So much artwork has started to be sold online. It's a scary moment for the gallery. So they've got to pretty much work a little bit harder to get sales now, haven't they, you know?
I agree. I think that with the rise of Etsy and things like that, you've got a lot of people that empower themselves. Now, I personally never went the Etsy route. You know, I wanted to just hone in on what I was doing until I reached a certain point where I had the confidence inside to go directly to the gallery. But look, any path that anyone feels is right for them, you know, on the inside, you know,
and
honestly, you know, I wanted to go the traditional sense because I'm a traditional kind of guy, but I really believe in this radical guerrilla marketing on advertising online. Like, you know, so I think the appropriate way forward is a mix of like, let's stick to traditional values, but apply new methods.
Yeah, of course. And which piece, Richie, do you think has got the strongest emotional connection that you've created, whether it be to you or to the viewer?
That's a fantastic question. Well, Gary, I'd have to say, immediately what comes to mind is my Frank Sinatra, because my Frank Sinatra is just such a playful piece. It's just so inviting. It's so warm. It's so welcoming. It's a tale of somebody who lived a great life and a celebration. You know, I think the one great thing about all my pieces is that you see how I splatter paint, and that is actually a representation of like confetti, because every single one of these pieces is supposed to be a party.
And Sinatra definitely knew how to throw a party, didn't he? That's for sure.
Oh yeah. I mean, my father was a huge Sinatra fan, you know, chairman of the board and all that. And it's just like, I remember when Sinatra died, my dad was really sad, you know, because my dad used to live in Italy for a while. My father lived in Napoli when he was younger. Immigration from like Poland. I think he lived in Italy for a while, but yeah, you know, he loved Frank Sinatra, and I was always a part of the house. And so when I had the commission request for that piece, it was, you know, it was a joy, tremendous joy, you know, and it brings out exuberance and happiness and think, because it reminds me of the Vegas days and the way that, like, you know what, live your life, have your fun, do your thing, enjoy yourself.
And you mentioned that you're represented by a few galleries in New York, Chicago, Seattle. You mentioned to me offline that you was coming to the UK soon. Are you seeking representation in the UK?
I absolutely am seeking representation in the United Kingdom. And I'll tell you what, whether it be Manchester, Reading, Leeds, London, it's fine. You know, I am seeking to get my work across the pond because I have a tremendous love for England. I'm a Man United fan all the way through. That's what's taking me over there. I'm actually going to a Man United match to see them play Southampton. It's my first match to see the Premier League live. I'm so excited. So the representation, like I've done exhibitions in London at the Boomer Gallery in central London, you know, which is great. I've done exhibitions in Cannes in France. You know, I'm working on representation in Normandy, but really when it comes to the UK, why I love it so much is that it's English speaking Europe. And I know that's an oversimplification. Yeah, not to mention the fact that I think I like your guys' accent and I think you guys like our accent. So that's fun, you know?
Well, I think you in the UK, in Europe, we can travel for 60 miles and it's a different language.
I mean, look at the Welsh, right? and I would love to be in Wales, by the way. I love Wales. And I'll tell you right. So, I mean, look, when it comes to representation in the UK, I hit the ground running just like I did in Chicago and Seattle, you know, and I can't say that I really hit the ground running the last time I was in London because I was so focused on the exhibition. But I know this time around, I'll have more time to really pop in to see galleries that kind of fit my style and what I'm doing. And if we can forge a partnership, that would be beautiful. You know,
because are you bringing work with you, Richie, or would it just be like images to show the galleries?
So what I normally do is I go into the gallery with an iPad, because if I walked in there with everything rolled up or with a bunch of canvases, they'd get out of here, buddy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, out the door.
What are you doing? Who do you think you are? We didn't make this order, you know. But if I go in there with an iPad and smile and a good attitude, you know, that's the best way to do it, in my opinion.
Yeah. Would it be worth contacting them before you get there and like from the US and just say that you're coming over soon and you'd love to talk
to them? And that's a part of like my research process. So how that goes, and I'll kind of dive into what I did in Chicago, and this is definitely more applicable to what I'll aim to do in London. But you get a roster of the top, let's say, 20 to 30 galleries that you think would fit your style. Yeah. And I wouldn't necessarily even hone in on, you know, upper tier. And I wouldn't even necessarily hone on one city, for example, like London. I'll cut across London, Manchester, and let's just say Liverpool, for example.
Yeah.
And like, I'll take the top 10 galleries in each one that I think fit my mold. From that top 10, I'll narrow it down to the top three that I really think that are exactly like we can forge a partnership. Now I'm looking at a list of 9 or 10. Out of those 9 or 10, I'll follow on Instagram, Twitter. I'll reach out, message on Instagram, perhaps email, whichever one seems like they are geared more towards. Because a lot of the websites will tell you, like, reach out to us on Instagram, send us an email. And then from that point, if they respond, fantastic. I try to set up an appointment. In Chicago, nobody responded, so I just had to walk in everywhere. That's fine. If they don't respond, you know, these folks are busy. They have a lot going on, and I understand that. But at the same time, I have an objective, and I'm going to do my best to achieve my objective.
Of course, you're not traveling 3,000 or 4,000 miles to go knocking on doors that aren't going to open for you, right?
I mean, the fish and chips are great. I love the beer. You know, the pubs are fantastic, but like, yeah, I'd love to see some success while out there professionally. Yeah. I really would. And I know that I will. I have friends that are, you know, doing their best to, you know, point me in the right direction for XYZ, but my research really is what gets me the furthest. And me identifying the correct locations and then boots on the ground, going in there, like I said, cheerful attitude, you know, be okay with the no, be okay with them literally saying,
oh, of course,
not yeah. even, yeah, no eye contact. I'm sorry, we're not interested. There's the door. And that's fine. That's fine.
That'll do, yeah.
Thick skin is what's needed in the game.
But coming to the UK with a mission is the best idea. Richie, this is a question that I ask each guest. If there was you and 5 other artists, past and present, what would your ideal group show be?
You know what? My ideal group show, thinking about that, I would say Andy Warhol,
yeah,
top guy. Beyond that, Basquiat is a hero, especially here in the city. Then, if we're going to take it a little bit further back, not too far back, but a little bit further back, Salvador Dali,
yeah,
amazing. Then, Pablo Picasso.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I'll tell you, you know, just in reference to how I came about those four, with Andy Warhol, I can tell you that immediately that's pretty much where everything began. I fell into his work. You know, yeah. I remember going into an Andy Warhol exhibit with my dear friend White Tiger back in Vegas, and that was just nuts. I mean, it just rocked my world. And then beyond that, with Basquiat, when I really moved to New York City, I understood. I got it. And I mean, Superb. The work. Yeah, the way that his work flows and it tells a story of life in the city, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty nuts.
30, 40 years later, and his work still has that power emitting off the canvas.
Absolutely. Dali's depth of insanity is glorious to me. You know? Like, Dali is Walt Disney. And Walt Disney is one of the craziest people that was able to market themselves massively and be accepted ever.
Yeah.
So I would absolutely put Walt Disney in that roster as well, but I love Salvador Dali because that guy is really, you know, he's out there. And then, you know, when you go down to Picasso is just such a figure that, you know, he never stopped questioning his own creativity and he never stopped pushing his own envelope. And that was really special.
Yeah.
Warhol, I mean, he's just, I read books on Warhol. I study his life. The guy works in marketing. He worked in marketing and advertising. I worked in marketing and advertising. You know, it's just, love that, you know. And the bounds knew no limits with this man and what his mind could do. Yeah.
He was next level, wasn't he? When I asked that question, he is the most popular Warhol.
Mm, I can see that.
Yeah, without doubt. Another question is, if you wasn't an artist, Richie, what do you think you'd like to be?
Professional surfer.
Oh, superb. That's the first time that's come up. Absolutely. Now, are you any good at it?
Not at the professional level by any means necessary. No. I am all right when it comes out to just getting out there and catching a 6-8, maybe a 10-foot wave on a brave day.
Where can anybody see your work, Richie, be it on social media or a website?
You know what? The best place to find my work, I would say, is on my website, my Instagram. Those are the two hot spots. My TikTok as well, where I'm always posting new stuff. But if you want to see me in action in real time, the Instagram and the TikTok is definitely where it's at. It's pretty simple. It's at Richie with an underscore between each, R-I-T-C-H-I-E.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's the best place to see me in action.
And you mentioned that you're represented by a few galleries in the US. Have you got anything coming up?
You know, I have two shows coming up. I've got one show coming up in Soho that we've got aimed for July, which is really fun. And then more so of an exhibition style at Mr. Purple's in the Upper East Side. We're going to have a whole thing for the month of July. And I'm hoping all of June as well. So, you know, that should be really fun. But Mr. Purple's in the Lower East Side is a nice rooftop lounge. Really cool spot, and I'll have at least 5 or 6 of my pieces in there, so looking forward to it.
Well, hopefully in a few months you may be having one in the UK as well, eh?
Yeah, that would be really cool. You know, I'll definitely be taking your advice and getting a jump on giving these people a notice that I'll be over there. And you know, hopefully I have some success with having some meetings lined up beforehand, so you know, when I hit the ground running, not only will I have a list of places that are expecting me, but a list of places I intend on just popping up and saying hello.
And just as importantly, I hope Man United beat Southampton when you're over here.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's go, baby. That's what I'm talking about. I can't wait to just
step into Old Trafford. So it's the Saints against the Devils.
That's right. It's a good matchup, man. It's a good matchup.
Yeah, so good, I hope you have a great journey over here, mate. All the very best to you.
Thanks, man. Thank you so much. All the best to you as well. You have a really great rest of your day.
Sounds
all right. Good. Cheers.
If you've got an exhibition or any other creative project within the arts, or even just want to promote your own artwork, you could do that in podcast form, similar to the one you've just listened to. They start at a convenient price point that is comfortable for any artist working on a budget. This podcast itself is created by working artists, and we know how important that is. So to find out more information, you can email us on ministryofartsorg@gmail.com or on Instagram at ministryofartsorg. Ta-da!
That one image where it's kind of like you see the tower silhouette of the city and then it's just exploding with hearts or something like that. It's just, yeah. You got to take a negative to a positive, but if anybody could like do it like that, I look to Banksy for that. You know, believe it or not, funny story I'll tell you before we end this is that my buddy who runs around doing graffiti in like here in New York and has since the 80s had an opportunity to do a building with Cause, Shepherd Fairey, and Banks was there, and my buddy's there, and basically they're all doing a floor, right? They're all doing like a floor of the apartment, like a floor, like in the building. It's a walk up, like 4 floors. So imagine like Cause has like this whole thing. And I think once they renovated the building, the lady that lives in the Cause level, like left it, everyone else covered it. So Banks, he did a floor, and my buddy Hektad, he's doing some stuff as well. And this guy walks up. Before Hektad walks in the building, he's like, "Hey man, what's up? I'm Banks." And he's like, "What's up, man? How you doing?" Hektad had no idea who he was at the time. It was 10 years ago, maybe even longer. Pops up and he goes to Cause. He's like, "Hey man, who's that guy Banks?" He's like, "Oh, he's big. He's big in London, man. Just leave him alone. He's fine." Hektad's a bit of a, you know, he's a strong-willed man, you know? Yeah. So he's like, if people are around that he doesn't know or we don't know, it's weird. But, you know, he's like, he's in London. He's cool. Let him be. He's fine. He's going to do a floor. Hector's like, all right, all right. But the funniest thing that Hector said to me was that he looks like you. He's like, I'm not even joking. It's like the resemblance is crazy. He's like, you look like Banksy, bro. I'm like, that's fucking nuts. It's nuts. Nuts. It's a fun thing. Very fun.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.